Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Togba. It is so good to have you with me once again for this episode of A Year in the Word. Amen. Today we will be coming from Luke chapters 21 and 22 and Philippians chapters 3 and 4. Luke chapters 21 and 22 and Philippians chapters 3 and 4. We're reading from the New King James Version of the Word of God. Amen. It is always a pleasure to have you with me. Amen. We're in the 7th month of this journey through A Year in the Word, and I am grateful to God that He has enabled us to go this far in His Word. We have gained knowledge of His precepts and of His principles, knowledge of the boundaries that it takes in relationship, amen, to be fruitful, and for our relationship, amen, to be healthy. Glory to God, and for us, amen, to gain access to that we were always intended to have, and that is a relationship with the true and the living God, our creator, our healer, our help. We were always intended to have a relationship with him. We read that from the very beginning when the Lord created the heavens and the earth, and he created all the plant life and all the animals, and then he created man and woman, and he created us to have a relationship with him, to be in communion with the Spirit of God Almighty. We were always meant to have a relationship with him. And then sin was introduced, amen, into the earth, and the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, were seduced by the spirit of the enemy, and they received the reward that the Lord told them that they would if they did certain things. If you go outside the boundaries of your relationship, there is a consequence. And you will lose your relationship. And that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. They went outside the boundaries of that relationship, and they lost that relationship with God, although they were always intended to be in that relationship. Amen. But I praise God, because before, amen, they were even thrust out of Eden, the Lord proclaimed, amen, that there was going to be a resurrection, amen, a bringing back to life, even that relationship. And we see that in, I believe it's the 15th verse of the third chapter of Genesis, when the Lord talks about the seed of the woman that will overtake the seed of the enemy, and that will cause a fatal blow to that enemy and bring back into relationship mankind to their position of being in relationship with God. I'm sorry, I'm stammering a little bit this morning, but I give glory to God, amen, because he made us to be in relationship with him. And Jesus, that promised one from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, he was promised, amen, and he came down through 40 and two generations, and he did the miraculous. He thrust all of the sin of every human life that has ever been in the earth was thrust upon him all at one time, amen, and he took the sins of each and every one of us so that we could again be in relationship with the Father and no longer alienated from his presence. And here we are today, amen, having received the salvation of Jesus, having received his Spirit upon him ourselves, having taken, amen, the gift of God, amen, and being again in relationship with him. Those of us who have chosen Christ, amen, we are again in that position that Adam and Eve were in the very beginning, in relationship with the God of the universe. And that was always his intent. I give glory to God. I give praise to him. Amen. He is our God, our keeper, our savior. He is our strength. He's our provider. He is our healer. Amen. You don't have an issue. You don't have a situation. You don't have a condition. You don't have an affliction that is too hard for the Lord to solve, a problem too hard that he can't fix it, an ailment too great that he cannot deliver. His hands have not been shortened, nor has power been diminished. But he is the almighty, all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, omnipresent God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's who he is. Glory. Hallelujah. And we have an opportunity on today to receive him once again. Hallelujah. He is constantly, constantly in pursuit of each and every one of us to make us better and to receive us unto himself and then continue to make us better day by day and hour by hour. He's constantly trying to get our attention to maneuver us into right paths, to make our relationship with him better, to have us to go further, to cause us to prosper and see successes that we could not attain on our own. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That is the Jesus I present to you today. The one, hallelujah, that laid down his life so that we can have life and that more abundantly. Not just in eternity after you transition, but right here, right now in the earth. Amen. God is waiting. Jesus is waiting to turn your life out. And all you have to do is turn it over to him. Be in relationship with him. Glory to God. I give him glory and I give him honor. I give him praise on today. Amen. Amen. Again, we're reading from Luke chapters 21 and 22 and Philippians chapters 3 and 4. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we give you glory and we give you honor today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for your might, your glory, for everything, Lord God, that you've done in the earth days, Lord God of creation, Lord God, for your creativity. We see the beauty in the land, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we see your presence, your finger, Lord God, how you have created such magnificent things, Lord God, the greatness and the majesty of the animals and the plant life and the things that we see, even, Lord God, the creativity in creating man and the buffering systems in the body and how we are made in such a miraculous way that all our parts move together and they are all purpose. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, because this is great. And though man will in its perversion tries to clone the things that God has created and actually creates monsters in its wake, oh Lord God, I praise you, Lord God, for your mercy and your kindness and your grace toward us. Oh Lord God, bring us back, Lord God. Bring us back to the place of right fellowship, Lord God, all of mankind. Lord, I thank you for your word that lets us know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. You want all of us to turn away from the wicked ways, the ways that we have been tricked and seduced into thinking that are right. You want us to see what is true and what is really right. Oh, Lord God, and we can only see those things through the eyes of the Spirit and through a relationship with you. Oh, Lord God, I thank you this morning, Lord God, for every soul, every life, Lord God, that is listening right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Heal us, Lord God. Heal us, Lord God. Remake us, mold us, Lord God. Restore us, revive us, Lord God. Renew us, replenish us, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, change our vision, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes that we might see in our hearing, oh God, that we might hear what the Spirit is speaking, Lord God, even right now. Wisdom, Lord God, we have read it on several occasions. Our wisdom is crying in the streets. Lord, give us ears to hear wisdom and the cry of wisdom, Lord God, and give us, oh God, a mind to obey, a mind to adhere, Lord God, to the boundaries of relationship. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, move in us, God. Oh, right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord God, for moving, Lord God, mountains out of our way, Lord God, for moving dangers seen and unseen, Lord God. All of us, Lord God, I'm sure have had a moment when we knew, oh my God, how did that happen? How did I not get hurt from this? But it was the presence of God Almighty and the love and your grace, oh Lord, that has kept us all this time. Lord, and we honor you today. We honor you, Lord God. We honor you.
You are worthy of all our praise, of every accolade, Lord God. Oh, Lord, of everything that we can give, Lord God, you are worthy. Add to us, Lord God, so that we can nurture one another. And, Lord God, encourage one another to get closer to you. Lord, add to us, Lord God, that we might use the wisdom that you have given and the word, Lord God, that you have given to us to nurture, Lord God, each other and to bring each other closer to you, Lord God. Bless every pastor today, every teacher, Lord, every evangelist, every apostle, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless your people right now, oh God. And keep us, Lord, even now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Move in the midst of us, even right now, oh God. Encourage your leaders on today, Lord God, and bring them back into positioning, Lord God, so that they can hear what your spirit is saying. Oh, Lord, the enemy is so cunning these days, Lord God. He insidiously moves people out of their place. But, Lord, I know you have a gentle nudge, and you push us back into right positioning, Lord God. Do that in the midst today. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, as we humble ourselves in your presence, we need you, Lord. Every day and every hour, for everything under the sun, Lord God, we need you. Bless, heal, and deliver right now, Lord God. Open our minds to receive your word as we read in Luke and in Philippians. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. We give glory and honor, amen, to the Lord on today. We're reading from Luke chapters 21 and 22 and Philippians 3 and 4 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. I hope you have been following along with your Bibles or whatever you have, electronic thing you may have to read the word. Amen. I use my phone sometimes. I use my computer. I give glory to God. Amen. That we have these avenues that we can have the word with us at any time. Amen. And in a convenient way, we can pull it out. And I just praise God. Amen. Let's read. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she has. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about, that you not be deceived? For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be frightful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by your parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those
who are in the midst of her depart, and let those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the sword, by the edge of the sword, and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves the summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to him, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is that the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it just as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "Fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And so they said, look. And so they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captain of the temple, and the elders who came to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to deceive me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently confirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." I have read and you have heard from Luke chapters 21 and 22. We are now entering Philippians chapters 3 and 4. Glory to God. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision. We worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I'm on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following by example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. For my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Judea and implore syntax, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I have read and you have heard from Luke chapters 21 and 22 and Philippians chapters 3 and 4. May the Lord add a blessing to the reader's ears and most of all, the doers of his word, and sanctify the truth in all of our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, God bless you, God keep you, and God anoint you in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you will continue to join me in this journey through a year in the word. Amen.